This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, get home to find language smeared all over the walls. Today, we are quizzing! All of the questions are about food etymology, and two delicious friends of the show will be quizzing along. Play along with us, grab a pen and paper, or you can use the interactive answer sheet at theallusionist.org/foodquiz. While you get ready, heed this. I just performed a brand new Allusionist live show the other day with house band Martin Austwick, and it is a big old parade of languagey fun. You can still watch it online via kingsplace.co.uk for the rest of this month, September 2021. And in it, you will hear about words including
Bechdel test, Uziel Gal of Uzi Guns,
Myers-Briggs test as a mother and daughter team, saxophone,
Poubel is the French for rubbish bin after the lawyer and administrator Eugene Poubel.
Venn diagrams weren't invented by John Venn.
Shirley Temples.
It could be worse, like boycott,
big daddy of the Greek gods.
An effect called the Thatcher effect. Care to guess, Martin?
Is it everyone's saying you invented ice cream?
The moist chamber.
To get the full show, go to theallusionist.org/events for the link. I don't know when, if ever, I'll get to perform it again, so this is your one certain chance to see it. Are you ready to quiz? I said, are you ready to quiz? That was a practice question, no points for answering. On with the food quiz.
My name is Samin Nosrat. I'm a writer, a cook, and also co-host of the Home Cooking Podcast.
And I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. I'm a musician. I'm the other co-host of the Home Cooking Podcast.
So, Samin, you've got the first question.
Oh, I do. Okay, question one. Aperitif derives from the Latin verb aperire, meaning to open, because in France, historically, aperitifs are drinks you take in at the start of a meal to encourage you to open your A, mouth, B, belt, or C, bowels.
Wow.
I took Latin, and I'm a cook.
Yeah, and you speak Italian as well.
It's true, but none of those actually answer any of this, but I do have a guess.
Yeah?
I would guess that the answer is A, mouth. In Farsi, we have a bunch of sayings about sort of like opening your appetite or mouth-opening foods, and I feel like it's kind of a thing that happens across languages, across cultures, so even though I can't connect the dots of like aperitivo and aperire and the, you know, idea of opening, going there, I think the idea of like opening your appetite and opening your mouth are kind of connected. So that's where I would go.
The answer is bowels. Aperitifs were laxative drinks. I don't know whether they took them at the beginning of a meal to create some room or whether it's just the kind of thing where a French word has been appropriated and its original meaning has been left behind a bit.
Jeez.
Now I sound real naive and stupid.
No, not at all. Your Farsi explanation was a lot more romantic and less laxative-y.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I've divided the rest of the questions into savory and sweet, so let's head into the savory course with Rishi's question.
Okay. Etymologically, calamari means A, beautiful sea, B, inky swimmer, or C, pens.
I think I'm going to go with beautiful sea, just because the mar. I don't know how kal could be related to beautiful, but I'm going to go with them.
Well, kalos is beautiful in Greek.
Oh, I only took one semester of ancient Greek, so I don't think we got to that word.
It was the first one we learned. It's basically like 3 months of just declining that.
Is she right?
No. The answer is pens.
Pens?
It's from the Greek kalamos, which means pen, because of the squid's long pointy shape. And obviously it's got ink coming out of one of its ends.
Wow. That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, I was very excited. Calamaria to do with pens.
Kalamos. I love that. That's so beautiful. Wow. I love old wordy things, aka etymology.
glad you're on board with this.
I'm into it. Okay, question three. Which of the following ingredients was 1920s slang for an attractive girl? A, mozzarella, B, tomato, or C, avocado?
I don't know, but I'm using all of them from now on.
And what a great salad altogether.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just when you see a group of attractive women, you got a pizza.
You're going to put avocado on your pizza?
Sure.
Whoa.
Disgusting. My guess is B, tomato, because avocados, they have a very specific and limited ecosystem where they grow. And I think it'd be weird to call an attractive girl a mozzarella. So I'm going to go with tomato. And also, this question reminded me of the Italian slang, the word finocchio, which is used for, do you know what that one is?
Is that fennel?
It's a fennel, which is Italian slang for a gay guy.
Wow. Why?
So I'm like, oh, all the vegetable slangs. I'm really into it. Yeah.
I actually know the answer to this one, so I was holding off.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
It is tomato.
Yeah. Because of juiciness.
Oh.
Not sure I fully follow that logic. You know, the choice of tomato over everything that is juicy. Why not grapes?
I like any food item to describe anybody, especially because they're attractive. I think it could work for anything. Just pick. Oh my God, look at that. Look at that calamari. Oh, so hot.
I mean, I named my dog Fava Bean.
Yeah, you have a food nickname for me, Rishi.
That's true. Did you know that, Samin, that my nickname for Helen is pizza?
What? Because of all the Z's?
Because I once told Helen about this atrocious pamphlet that I read at the train station when I was in college. It was for some kind of like, oh, I think it was called Student Advantage. Do you remember the Student Advantage card?
Oh, yeah,
ring a bell? It was a pamphlet for Student Advantage, and they were trying to say like how useful it could be. And they were like, everybody knows students need a few extra bucks, whether it's to do laundry, buy some books, or just grab a slice of za. And I had never heard that before. Za, like apostrophe Z-A. And I was looking at it, I was like, are they trying to say pizza? They're abbreviating pizza? Like, this is the how cool kids say pizza? Like, what is this? And I felt so offended that they were trying to market at me, a student, using this kind of language. And I told Helen about this. And then immediately after that, she was doing a Reddit AMA. and I think I went in there and I asked her if she was really hiding the fact that Helen Zaltzman was short for Helen Pete Zaltzman.
Pete Zaltzman.
Yeah, my family shortened it when they moved to an Anglophone country.
Yeah. So now I just call her pizza for short. Naturally.
I just think an abbreviation where you understand less what the thing was is not a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose you are saving a whole syllable, which is half of the effort.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you sound so cool and so with it, calling it just za.
And you must be a very busy person not to be able to do the full pizza. Mm-hmm.
You're a student. You've got skateboarding to do. Question four. Which ingredient means, etymologically, spear leek? Okay, is the answer A, green onions?
No.
B, garlic?
No.
Or C, chives?
Oh.
All the alliums.
Wait a minute. I didn't know it was any of these. spear leek. Wait, garlic?
A, green onions. B is garlic. Chives is C.
I'm going to go with green onions.
It's garlic.
Really?
The gar meant spear, which apparently meant the clove. I guess because it grows little green shoots.
They are.
The lac is the same word as leek, which I never realized until this very day.
Me neither. Wow.
Spear leek.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say asparagus. I thought that was going to be a choice. Obviously not. This quiz is really hard.
It's a good thing there are no prizes except for being allowed
being
to
a
go.
Loser. Yeah.
No. The prize is learning.
Yes, that's true. Question 5. Carpaccio, the dish of thinly pounded raw meat, is named for the painter Vittore Carpaccio because his paintings featured a lot of A. red paint, B. cows, or C. hammers. I truly have no idea.
Me neither. Hey, this is an eponym.
Yeah, there's a lot of food eponyms. I'm surprised that you both don't already have several foodstuffs named after you.
What would a rishi be?
Well, definitely a cookie of some kind.
I was going for some kind of eponym that means open your bowels, but it was taken.
I think rishi would be a cookie that, like, every bite except one is delicious and one bite has puns in it.
It makes you spit it out and want to run a refund.
The answer is red paint.
Excellent. Mm.
Okay.
That makes sense. I like that. I think that's beautiful.
Okay, question 6. There was an old English word, non-meat? Am I saying that correctly?
No one knows. Everyone who knew how to say it has been dead for 1,200 years.
Great. It was pronounced non-meat, and it meant noon meat. But what did that noon meat mean? Did it mean A, lunch, B, a dozen sausages, or C, afternoon delight?
C.
It is lunch. Noon meat.
Right, sure. What do vegans do in the old English world?
Meat used to just mean food, rather than specifically animal flesh food.
Meat just meant food?
It's too bad that non-meat in old English didn't just mean non-meat, because that would work really well for vegans.
So you could have non-meat.
Right. Exactly. There you go. You solved it. One thing that I really like is that in India, and in general, when you're talking about Indian food, you know, there's questions like, oh, does he eat non-veg? That's the question. Like the sort of default is vegetarian. And then the exception is if one eats meat, it's like, oh, you eat non-veg.
I like that.
I like that too.
Question 7. Which nut's name etymologically means foreign nut? A, peanut, B, walnut, C, almond. I think I know.
Wait, can I guess which one you think it is?
Yeah.
Samin, I think you think it's C, almond.
Yeah, why do you think I think it's that?
Because of the M-O-N-D is sort of like the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the foreign part of it could mean, you know, not from this world.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's something. So there's this thing in Farsi where the word for strawberry is tut farhangi, which means like farhang means foreign. So like foreign berry is like tut farhangi. But colloquially, sometimes something foreign means that it's better. Or at least like that's the way a lot of times my family used it, is like the things you could get in Iran, like in the 90s, you know, versus the things you could get that came from Europe, you know, the European version was a lot nicer, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like, ooh, we got the farhang version. And so for whatever reason, I think I conflated farhang with French. And then I think I've just conflated two other things. The word for Germany is, and there are a lot of French words in Farsi. Oh. So the word for Germany.
Wow. So my reason for why you guessed almond was totally wrong.
You were so close, Rishi.
Yeah,
the word for Germany.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Is almond, right? Almond. Like yeah. Alemania, right? Like, right?
Notorious almond hotspot.
Notorious almond, right? Which also, yes, and I did see the M-O-N-D and the world, and I was like, oh yeah. Like, so all of these things were somehow a jumble in my head, and I was like, 100% foreign nut.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
Again, in very intelligent guesswork and also falling into the traps I laid.
Totally wrong. 100% incorrect.
Well, it's just, what would intelligent people think etymologically plausible?
So what's the right answer and why?
The answer is walnut.
Tell me more.
Well, the old English, I can't pronounce this either because I'm 1,000 years too young, is huel, which meant foreign, and hnutu, which meant nut. And it was because walnuts had been brought in from Gaul and Italy.
But walnuts are original. I thought walnuts are originally from Iran.
They could well have been. It's just they got into English indirectly.
This is my, like, everything's originally from Iran moment. I am making my people simultaneously embarrassed and proud.
We're on to the sweet course.
Okay. Question 8. Dessert came to the English language in the 1600s from a French word, desservir, meaning what? A, to clear the table, B, to loosen your belt, or C, to pour sugar into your mouth.
I just feel like I cannot even play this game anymore because Helen has just...
She's in your head.
She's in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Let's see. I'm going to go with A, to clear the table.
Correct.
That's what I wanted to choose, but then you were in my head.
Oh, you got to trust yourself again. You're going to have to rebuild that.
Because servir is related to serving.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
And then the des on the front is removing
yeah.
of what has been served.
Yeah.
Question 9. Moose derives from a French word meaning A, mouse, B, clouds, or C, scum.
Helen is in my head as well.
Oh no, forget I'm even here.
Because I'd want to say clouds, because that of course makes sense and goes along with what moose is like, both the food and the hair product. But scum being so out there as a option C makes me think that Helen put that in there because it's the right answer. But I also feel like now, 9 questions in, she recognizes that we recognize that sometimes she does a weird one as a C answer, and then that turns out to be right. So she's doing one that's intentionally not right. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
It's like the iocane powder scene in Princess Bride.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go with C, scum.
It's correct. Ha. It was the froth that they skimmed off the top of mead.
I'm in your head, Helen.
Oh, welcome. I would have tidied up if I knew you were coming.
Okay, question 10. Snickers bars were launched by Mars in 1930 and named after the Mars family favorite, A, horse, B, dog, or C, nanny.
Has to be a horse. You have to name your horse Snickers. Also, they're like, by this point, so rich, they have to have a horse named Snickers.
Which do you think takes more wealth? A, horse, or C, nanny?
100% a horse, because horses basically require their own nanny.
Right.
You are correct.
Thank you very much. I finally got one right, and it was about a candy bar and wealth.
And a horse.
And a horse.
And now I feel really good about myself.
Question 11, please, Samin.
I'm guessing you say French toast for bread soaked in eggy liquid and then fried. The dish has been around for at least 2,000 years and has lots of names, not just French toast, but also Spanish toast, Bombay toast, and nun's toast. But which of the following is not a real name that French toast is also known by? A, pan perdu, French for lost bread, B, sunshine toast, or C, poor knights of Windsor.
Huh.
I'm going to go with B, sunshine toast. Because poor knights of Windsor just sounds weird. And that sounds very Helen.
Yeah, I mean, that one's too specific. Sunshine toast.
Sounds like something like a Florida grandma would make up on Tuesday for her children.
Remember, you're choosing the one that's not a real name.
Correct.
Yes, right. Sunshine toast. I agree with you, Samin.
Yeah, you're correct. Sunshine toast. Well, maybe some people call it sunshine toast. But poor knights of Windsor is a real name for French toast.
That's great.
Rishi, your question.
Helen, I'll let you ask question 12.
I don't know why you're playing this one coy, Rishi. Question 12. Which ingredient shares etymology with the word vagina? A, vanilla, B, vinegar, or C, vodka?
I'm going to go with vanilla because I don't know the etymology of vagina. I would guess that the etymology of vodka comes from Russian.
It's like little water or something, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. And what was the other one?
Vinegar
is related to wine. And I cannot understand why vagina would be related to wine for the life of me.
Whereas vanilla, of course.
Yeah, vanilla makes total sense. So I'm going to go with vanilla.
It is vanilla. It was because it was in a husk, which is not the most flattering. The Latin word vagina meant like a husk or a scabbard.
Oh,
you know, like
right.
A sword's scabbard.
Right. Yes, I think I did know that somewhere deep in there. Rishi, you can't say the word vagina. That's like that's too upsetting for you. That's just like you just like beyond your comfort zone. You just can't do it.
You know, it's it registers above a zero on my embarrassment scale.
Mm-hmm. Vanilla is the diminutive of the word vagina, which is from the Latin vagina.
Wow.
So it's little vagina.
It's a little vagina.
But Rishi can't say it.
Rishi loves vanilla ice cream.
She's going to think about that every time I add a little vanilla extract to a cookie.
All right, question 13.
The phrase top banana came about as slang for A, the president, B, the person on top of a human pyramid, or C, a headlining comedian.
Definitely not the human pyramid. And I'd say the president is too obvious. I'm going to go with the headlining comedian.
You are correct. It's been in showbiz jargon since 1927, thanks to a routine where three comedians were trying to eat two bananas.
Oh, memorialized in that famous series, Three Comedians, Two Bananas.
Early YouTube sensation.
Yep.
And then they started calling the top-billed comic Top Banana, and they had Second Banana and Third Banana. And they had some quite offensive terms for other people working in vaudeville.
Question 14. In some of the earliest known recipes for meringues, in English cookbooks from the 1600s, meringues are called A, pets, B, cuties, or C, fluffs.
A.
Pets, what's your working?
Zero. It can't be cuties. That's like too modern. Fluff just sounds too cute and too modern. So just has to be A.
Yeah, you're right. Cute is only attested from 1731.
There you go.
That was the dead giveaway for you, wasn't it, Samin? You are correct. They were called pets. And I have a bonus question. What does pets mean in French? They are still known as pets in some areas of France. Does pets mean A, pets, B, farts, or C, boobs?
Ooh. Is it a fart or is it a boob? Is it a fart or is it a boob? Farter boob, farter boob, farter boob, farter boob.
It's a great song, that.
Are you going to turn this into, are you going to remix this? Farter boob, farter boob, farter boob.
You know the two words that automatically make a dance song. Cats and boots. Cats and boots and 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 cats and boots. It kind of works here with Samin's options.
Yeah, it kind of works. Farts and boobs and farts and boobs and farts and boobs and farts and boobs and farts and boobs.
Yeah.
What are you going to go for, farts or boobs? I know it hurts you to choose just one of those.
I'm going to go with boobs.
Sounds good.
You're both going boobs? I'm afraid the answer is farts.
Dang,
because the meringues are full of air.
Oh, of course.
Well, congratulations. You survived the quiz.
I'm still alive. Sort
you
of.
Are. You did some very intelligent etymological reasoning. And I'm sorry that it destroyed your self-esteem.
I only embarrassed my ancestors like 6 to 7 times.
Helen, thank you so much for having us.
Helen, my brain feels exercised, so thank you.
I'm sorry. It was, I mean, like all exercise, unpleasant at the time. The Illusionist is an independent podcast recorded in a cupboard full of cardigans in suburban London, in between bursts of loud music emanating from a festival happening just over the brow of a hill. Can't afford the music rights. If you fancy supporting the show, and if you want behind-the-scenes insights into the episodes, become a patron at patreon.com/illusionist. You also get to hang out with your fellow patrons, who are a lovely bunch. Also, patrons get a 20% discount on the live show, which, as aforementioned, is available to watch online via kingsplace.co.uk for the rest of this month of September 2021. Go get it! Don't tarry! Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is... karoshi, noun in Japan. Death caused by overwork. Origin Japanese, from ka, excess, ro, labor, shi, death. Try using karoshi in an email today. This episode was written and produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. The music is by Martin Austwick of palebirdmusic.com and the experimental podcast Neutrino Watch. Thanks to Samin Nosrat and Rishikesh Hirway. They host the podcast Home Cooking, one of my favourites. It's a very feel-good listen, as well as full of great cooking advice. You should also subscribe to Rishi's other podcasts, including Song Exploder, as well as his newsletter, Accept Cookies, a new twice-monthly bulletin about creativity and culture, and cookies. Sign up at rishikesh.bulletin.com, and I'll link to it as well at theillusionist.org/foodquiz. Find Allusionist Show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And to hear or read every episode, see the full dictionary entries for the randomly selected words, get tickets for events if any are ever happening again, and browse a lexicon for all the words ever covered in the podcast with links to the relevant episode, visit the show's forever home, theillusionist.org.
Farts and poops and farts and poops and farts.